Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has been spending the latter part of his summer in a recording studio, laying down tracks for a new CD project. Hymns is, according to Derek Drover's website, quote, a combo of my three other albums in one, very vintage but powerful, musical and introspective, end quote. Derek's on the phone with us tonight to talk about the project, which is slated for release this fall. But before we begin our conversation with Derek, let's take a listen to Forevermore from Derek Drover's first CD, Worship and Wonder. Derek Drover. Good evening, Derek.
Hi, how are you today?
Not bad. Now, it's been a few years since we've talked on Arts Connection, so let's go back and give our listeners a chance to get to know you again. Take us back to the beginning. When did you start making music?
I started when I was about 11 years old, actually, 11 or 12. I started leading worship at church at that age, at 12 years old, and you know, before that, I would just kind of flunk around on the piano a little bit, and then I just kept getting better and better at it, I guess, and one thing led to another, and before you know it, I was up in front of the church.
So what was that like as an 11-year-old? I mean, you're not even a teenager at this point, leading worship in a congregational setting.
Well, I started leading when I was, I think I was 12. I know there's not much difference, but it was very nerve-wracking, to be honest, like when you're a kid like that, and I remember, you know, the one morning that it happened, and my pastor was like, listen, we need you to come do something. Like, I had never done it before, and I said, you know, there were some circumstances that came up where I had to just step in, and I said, well, I really don't know much. He said, well, come and just do what you know how to do, right? So I remember I showed up and prayed before I went out, and I said, God, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, so if you don't do something here, then it's going to be really bad. And I went out and I played I Exalt Thee, and I think I played it for about a half an hour because you know, God's presence was there in the church, and And plus, I think it went well, and it was the only, you know, really the only song I knew how to play really well, so I stuck with it. But everybody was really into it, and the pastor was like, no, keep going. Like, I guess it came from such a sincere place as a kid where I was totally leaning, totally trusting, you know, without even understanding all of that fully. And so I try to always kind of bring myself back there all the time just to who I was then at 12 years old and try to keep that same attitude now. All throughout, even though, you know, your skills increase and your knowledge increase, it still comes down to that. If the Lord doesn't do the work, it really is all meaningless.
Mm-hmm. And going from there, you started songwriting and creating your own music. And then when did the songwriting begin?
I was around 13 years old, like almost right away. Like, it just seemed pretty natural to want to create, want to make something that wasn't there, you know, and it was pretty thrilling to be able to do that you can make something that didn't exist before, you know, and it just seemed pretty natural for me to do it.
Looking back at what you did back then to some of what you're doing now, how have you changed or how has your way of songwriting changed in those years?
Well, when you first start out, like, I mean, it's pretty simple. You're writing at the level that you're at, right? Like, you know, the level of understanding lyrically, and then also just your level musically. You know, it's pretty simple when you're a kid like that, 13 years old, 12 years old. Like, but it's funny, if I look back at those songs now, even though they are simple, they're sincere. And so, you know, I always tell everybody, kids, everybody, it doesn't matter who they are, 9, 10, 11, write it down. Write a song down. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it rhymes perfectly. It doesn't matter if it goes perfectly. It doesn't matter if you only know two chords. Try to make something. Make it your own. And, I look back at it, and you can see all along, you know, where you've grown and where you've gotten better. But, I mean, I can even hear that from my first album, Worship and Wonder, now to my fourth album coming out, the Hymns one, like the growth in my writing, I recognize it just in that. So it continues to happen.
Well, and talking about that, talking about going from Worship and Wonder to the Hymns, this will be your fourth CD. Mm-hmm. They sort of span a gamut of styles. You've got contemporary worship, instrumental, inspirational, and now hymns. What has attracted you to such a variety of styles?
Well, anybody who knows me or has known me, that's normal. That's that's what I always do. It's what I've always done. I like a variety of music. I don't like to be boxed in to one thing. You can only do this, and this is how you have to package it, and this is how it has to sound, this is how it has to look. I never was into that, so I just... I'm pretty much, honestly, just going by the leading of God on it, and He opens up the doors, and it just seems like it's the right thing, and it is. And you can hear the similarities between, like, for example, on this album, the Hymns one, you can hear all three albums on one, basically. Like, you can, you know, there are elements of worship. There is elements of rock and inspiration. There is elements of the piano album and the way the music can move somebody. So there is elements of all of the three in the one. But, I guess it's kind of my thing now is I was asking my producer that same question. Do you think it's okay what I'm doing here? I said, I really don't have a set thing that people can expect. He said, but that's exactly what they do expect from you, is that they don't know what to expect. So I said, okay. I said, I feel comfortable in that role. Like, that's right where I want to be.
I know that when you're talking to people about the whole marketing aspect in that, the branding element becomes a significant part of that. And what you're doing seems almost counterintuitive to the advice that people usually give as to how to develop yourself and develop your brand and get yourself out there in that. So are you comfortable doing that?
Very comfortable. I'm here to make, how am I going to word this? I have a little girl that I teach piano to, and she said, I said, what do you want to do when you grow up or whatever, you know, just talking. She said, oh, I want to be famous like you. And I said, listen, I said, first of all, I'm not even really that famous. I said, but second of all, I said, there's only one who's famous, and that's God. And so my goal is to make him famous. And so if people know who I am throughout that process is one thing, whatever. But it's not my goal to be famous. It's not my goal to be, you know, package myself and brand myself and do all of that in order so that I can increase. I'm all about, I want him to increase and so him to be famous. And so I really don't consider the, I guess, the wisdom or the knowledge of what it means to make yourself something big, because I really could care less, to be honest.
Well, that's a good note to take a break on, and that's what we're going to do. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Derek Drover and talk about his latest CD project, Hymns. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Still waters, green pastures, you restore my soul.
Listening to Psalm 23, The House of the Lord, from Derek Drover's CD, Worship and Wonder. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Derek Drover. Specifically looking at the hymn CD, why a CD at this particular point in time?
It just seems like it's the right time. It just kind of, you just know when you kind of get the itch again and you start writing and you start thinking about it. I didn't really have a plan, like, as far as, I went to my producer so many years ago, 5 years ago, I guess, or however long it's been, and I said, I'd never made a CD before, but I went in and said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a worship CD, and then I'm going to do a contemporary CD, and then I'm going to do a piano CD, and then I'm going to do a hymn CD, and it was like, he's like, well, just slow down, let's get the one out of the way first, right? So I kind of had an idea of what I want to do. And I already actually know what the next one will be. I'm always thinking ahead. I want to do one that's based on all scripture. So I'm always kind of thinking ahead like that and want to make it go. So pretty much just when one gets done, I'm already working on the next.
Well, and you just said that you already had the hymns project in mind. But why a collection of hymns?
Oh, man. Better question is, why not? These songs are some of the most beautiful and powerful pieces of music ever written. And I just want to give them kind of a new life, give them a new fresh take, introduce them to a new audience. Lyrically, you can't beat these things. I mean, I didn't grow up singing hymns. I grew up, you know, singing contemporary worship stuff. But once I kind of started looking into the lyrics, looking into what they were, I mean, we used to sing the odd hymn. I knew, you know, a few things. But you can't, I mean, you just can't beat the lyrical content here. So it was a huge challenge to me to try to make music that matches with what the lyrics are, the power and the truth in the lyrics.
Well, I mean, there's any number, like there's thousands of hymns out there in that. How did you narrow it down and decide which hymns you were going to include on the CD?
Well, basically, it came down to I grew up playing sports, so the only thing I could associate it with was that I had to make cuts. So I started with probably 50 or 60, I think, in my opening list. And then I, you know, made my first cuts, and then I made my second cuts, and I was, you know, just taking ones off that, okay, no, like, does it feel right for me to sing? You know, does it kind of go in the flow of what I'm, you know, as far as the whole album? And even online, I was getting people's opinions from offline on, you know, social media and interacting with the fans and listeners. And they had a lot of actually really good input to say. I was picking between two songs, you know, I'm not going to say which two, but I was picking between two. I forget now even what they were. And it was just overwhelming which one that they wanted to hear out of those two, which I gave when I gave them the option. So that kind of made it easy. So, yeah, you turn out with a few. Like, there were some that I didn't know. I never even heard them before. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to bring a whole fresh, you know, fresh thought process to it without even having heard them before, because that way I wouldn't bring anything from the past of what I would have done normally to it. So it came out like a fresh song. So I think there's three or four of them like that on the CD.
And, you know, in doing it that way, is there a fear that somewhere along the line you're going to offend someone who that's their favorite song and they feel you've destroyed it by putting a different spin on it?
No, I was really careful. There's a couple things. I went and I stayed to the melodies of the songs, so anybody can sing the song that they know. Like, I didn't change any melodies. I didn't add any words. I didn't add any choruses. I didn't do anything like that. I went out of my way, like, a lot. Like, I really worked hard, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to stay respectful to the hymn, to the writer of the hymn, to the original, you know, what the hymn is. So you can sing along with it, but I just gave it some new music, gave it some new power, I guess, some new life, you know, adding in different instruments, giving it a full sound. But it was my biggest, I guess, the biggest thing that I was looking out for was just that I wanted to respect the writers, respect the songs, and the people who love them. So I don't feel that I've done anything like that at all. I think that when people hear it, they'll hear that. I mean, I read the life stories of the writers. I read the background of the songs. I read everything about it, when it was written, the era, the time, and all of that, it was influenced into my writing. And so when you hear it, you can hear all those things. It wasn't just, oh, I want to do it this way, so I'm going to do it that way. It actually wasn't that at all. I was influenced by everything about the song, this history, the story, the writers, and put it into what it is.
Well, I was looking at your website the other day and checking out, and you do a video log, and you were talking about the recording, and it sounded like in all of this process, you were putting in some really long days. I think the one time you mentioned like being there almost like 12 hours. What were some of the challenges you faced putting the CD together, other than what you had just said about keeping true to the spirit of the songs? What were some of the other challenges you faced?
Well, I mean... You're right. When I go to the studio, it's kind of like marathon. I'm there for like, you know, 4 or 5 days at a time, sometimes longer. I've been there for a week at a time. I sleep on the floor on a mattress. Like, you're surrounded, you know, I'm just there, like, you know, all the time. So, but I love it. Like, the days go by and I love it. I love the process. So the challenge is, you know, those long days of doing the work and putting it in. But once you're into something and into the project, time doesn't even really exist. You're just kind of focused on the project, right? But it's not really difficult, like, getting down, because I record it all before I go to the studio. I record it all on my iPad. So I have a, you know, GarageBand on there, and I make all the tracks, and so my producer knows exactly what I want to do before I go. So I can hear the songs fully recorded. They're not really great sounding because they're just on GarageBand, but the songs are complete before I go in. So really all we got to do then is pretty much almost duplicate what I've done.
Well, looking at that, you mentioned earlier that, you know, about 5 years ago is when you did your first CD, and now this is your fourth. What have you learned from the different experiences you've had with your various CDs that helped with producing hymns?
Well, the first CD that you put out, I mean, you don't really know what you're doing. Like, I knew how to get up in front of people live and, you know, play live music, and that's all I knew. So the first CD was a huge learning curve about albums and about CDs, about, you know, putting it together and studio work and all that kind of stuff. So it was a massive learning curve. Then on the second one, Living Proof, I applied all of that knowledge, basically, that I'd learned into that, and you can tell, like, my writing was way better lyrically, musically. It was more suited for a studio album. I was now thinking not necessarily only how this would translate live, but how would this translate on an album as well. Then I went and did the instrumental piano CD, which was actually the hardest out of any CD that I've done, because I actually just had to sit there and play the pieces through, most of them all the way through, and not mess it up, and then you got to wait, and it's slow, and as a piano player, you always have a tendency you want to overplay, and in this case, you don't want to overplay at all. You wanted to underplay because you wanted to, you know, create that relaxing, you know, peaceful atmosphere, and it really stretched my piano playing a lot. So, you know, then all of a sudden when you get into this next album, you got a bunch of hymns where there's no choruses. I shouldn't say no. There's very few with choruses, few, you know, bridges, things of what we would consider, you know, in pop, in our, you know, pop music world, where you have to have this happen and that happen at that time and this happen at that time. Otherwise, the listeners, they got to have a chorus to sing, you know, at this many seconds and that many seconds. You know, it's exactly the opposite of what it is. So I had to find a way to, what I wanted to do was to use the music to bring the words out into the forefront, to almost force you to listen to the words because of the music. So, and I think based on what I had to learn for the first three, it was able to happen with this one. I don't think I would have done, you know, 50% of the job that I did on it now if it was the first one I tried to do.
Well, we need to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish a conversation with singer-songwriter Derek Drover. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I am here in your courts, Lord. And there's no place I'd rather be. And I have come for one reason, that you'd reveal yourself to me. You are the Holy One.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to In Your Courts from the Worship and Wonder CD by Derek Drover. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Derek. You've been working on the CD over the summer. What's the timing for the release?
Timing for the release is in October. We are planning to have, I'm just going to make sure I'm looking at my calendar right now, we're planning to have a CD release concert on October 23rd. That's a Friday night, Friday, October 23rd. At 7 p.m. It's going to be at St. Paul's United in Elmer. And, you know, we've been pretty good. Like, the first CD was about 300 people at the release. The second one, Living Proof, was over 400 people. I didn't do one for the rest of the album. And this church holds about 500, and we're hoping to fill it. It's a beautiful old church with a big wraparound balcony, big pipe organ, like perfect venue to have the hymns release at. So it'll be available online probably a couple weeks before. I'll start sending some stuff out to radio about a month before, but the actual release concert is Friday, October 23rd.
And as it comes out and as people are listening to that, what are you hoping that the listeners are going to take away?
You know, I'm hoping that they're going to take away the revelation from the words. You know, that's what I'm after. Whenever you sing a hymn, that's what really does it for me. It's not necessarily that they say, I wanted to make the music so that it enhances the words, so that it brings the words to the forefront. And because that's where the power is, because most of them are based on scripture, very, very close to scripture. And a lot of people, that's how they used to remember the scripture and remember the words. It was by singing them. And so that's what I hope to do, is I hope that people just get grasp the depth of what they're saying. For example, in a song like Rock of Ages or, Be Thou My Vision, I Need Thee Every Hour, songs like that, Come Thou Fount, where you're like, man, like sometimes, with some of those hymns, you can sing them so fast that you didn't even catch really what you said. So, perfect example, Rock of Ages, is I slowed it down a lot, and gave it time so that people could actually, hear the words and grasp what this is, and because they are truly, truly some of the most powerful lyrics ever written. So that's what I hope people take away from it.
And where can people find out more information about your music and follow you to keep track of what's happening with the CD?
Well, if you just go to my website, derrickdrover.com, DerrickDrover.com, from there you'll be able to find my Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that kind of stuff, and I will be putting all the information on there.
Great. Derrick, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Derrick Drover. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.